Did he give us something?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for coming and joining us today. This is the talk on hosted web apps and web platform innovations. So if that's the talk you're looking for, you're in the right room. If you were looking for the other one, talk to the folks in the back and they'll get you in the right direction. So my name is Jeff Bertoft.
And I'm Kirill Saksonov.
And we're really excited to talk to you about web apps today. And specifically, we're going to be spending a lot of time about hosted apps. So we think web apps should be simple to make, they should feel familiar to web developers, and they should be powerful. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Ways to reuse the code that you already have, websites, web apps that you've already built, the frameworks that you're already using, the flow that you already have, and use that to build great apps on Windows. Just a little bit of marketing here, submit an evaluation, and you have a chance to win a prize. I don't know what that prize is, but I'm sure it's exciting because it's from Microsoft, and we got a lot of exciting stuff right now. Okay, so this is the agenda that we'll be going through today. We're going to just go over what a Windows web app is and what what makes it an app. Then we're going to spend a lot of time talking about hosted web applications. But we also want to talk about the changes that we have in packaged web apps and the new web view that we have in Windows 10 as well. And then we're going to end with tooling and talk about how some of the changes to the platform are bringing innovation to the tooling as well. All right. So let's go ahead and get started with the Windows 10 apps.
So Windows 10 apps, we've been on a journey to one app platform for one Windows. So your apps run across the multiple devices on the Windows platform. Windows web apps are part of the universal Windows platform. They'll run across the multiple Windows devices like the desktop, mobile, Xbox, the IoT devices like HoloLens. These are just universal Windows apps. If you make a hosted web app, it'll run across the universal Windows platform.
So the web app is one of the universal apps that you can write for Windows. Now, we've talked a lot this week about the new Microsoft Edge browser and how we have a brand new engine that runs the Edge engine that does the rendering, quite powerful. And then we also have a new Chakra engine that runs JavaScript significantly faster than we have in the past. So that's what runs the browser. Now, when we move into the application space, we have a JavaScript application environment that uses that same engine and uses the same JavaScript engine to run your applications. So what you really have is you have a sandboxed application that runs exactly like we have it inside the browser. So the same rendering engine, the same JavaScript engine. Now what that allows you to do as a developer is it allows you to determine on your own the best way to run your web content. You can run it as a packaged app and put all of your content inside of the Apex, or you can now run it as a hosted application, where instead of packaging content inside the app, you're actually going to be pointing externally to your web server. And then, of course, you can also mix the environments and have some of your code running locally and some of it running on a web server. Windows 10 gives us a lot of flexibility for the developer for you to determine how best you want to run and package your code. Now, to kind of illustrate this, we are going to jump in and do a bunch of demos of the hosted web apps and show you some really great examples of how this works. But we wanted to make it a little bit fun. So instead of having just hosted apps, we wanted to have a hosted web app Jeopardy, which we call Hosted Apperty. Are you in?
I'm in, Jeff.
Okay.
I'm ready.
So for this, I have a theme song. And I have one contestant. That's you, Kirill.
Oh, great. I'm excited. Let's do this.
I'm going to be playing the role of Alice Trebetz, so I brought with me a mustache and a gray blazer. My wife would die. She never sees me in a blazer. So
and I'll just throw
this
on my name tag.
All right. Okay, let's get started. So the board, Kirill, my single contestant, these are the categories that you can choose from today.
Sweet. Okay, I think I'm going to start easy first. I'm going to do Child's Play for 100, Alex.
Child's Play for 100. Okay, let's see what we have here. So Child's Play for 100, this site is great for kids of all ages. Kirill, you must build a hosted app out of nick.com.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'll take nick.com and I'll make that a hosted app.
All right. Now, while Kirill's doing that, I'm going to talk a little bit about what he's going to be doing. Now, a hosted web app allows you as the developer to continue with the workflows that you already have when you're writing for the web. So we do realize web developers write code in other places other than Visual Studio. So whether you're using Visual Studio, you're using Sublime Text, or whatever editor that you want to do, remember, you're writing code that's published for the web, so you can continue to use the editor that you want. It's quite common for us as web developers to push our code to repos and usually Git repos that we store on GitHub or some other fantastic place. That still works. Remember, your workflow for web is going to stay the same, as well as your deployment model. So remember, it doesn't matter where you're deploying your code. It doesn't matter what type of code you're using. If your web app is written in Ruby or in Java or in Node.js, you can continue to use that technology because remember, we're utilizing the web app that you have on your server. And when you put that all together, you end up with a rich Windows application that has all the features of your website, and we'll talk more about how you can enable any of the Windows APIs that you can inside of a native application. Okay, so let's go back. All right, our one contestant, Kirill, it's time to show the work that you have done. So I'll go ahead and move you over to the right button.
Sweet.
Tell us what you've done.
I will, and let me make it bigger a little bit first, if I can.
That little 100% in the bottom corner of your screen, right there?
That
one,
Jeff.
You can change that to like whatever you want. It's amazing.
There you go.
Awesome.
That's a little bigger so you guys can see, but basically what I've done is I've taken the website URL for nick.com, just http www.nick.com. I've opened the AppX manifest inside the standard Windows 10 JavaScript project. This is part of the blank template. And I've replaced it with my website URL. So as the start page, I've given it nick.com. And there's one more thing that I had to do in order to turn nick.com into a hosted web app. And what that was under application content URI rules. And what these rules are, they really define the container and where your web app lives and where the web begins. So you're able to define the website URLs that are inside your app and the ones that are external to your app and launch in a default browser. So inside of here, I've given nick.com as one of the URLs. This is my app. And now all I have to do is hit run. This will run my application. It's a hosted web app just pointing to the web. And this is the nick.com website as an application on Windows. It's a great interactive site. I can use my touch screen to navigate through the content. I can click on games here. I can see all the games. And if I had time, I could go in and play a game.
Sure you could.
What do you think, Jeff?
Okay, judges. All right. Nice job, Kirill. Nice job. Okay, back to the board. Next category.
I think for this one, I'm going to go a little higher, and I'm going to do Friendless in Seattle for 2000.
Friendless in Seattle for 2000. Okay, Kirill, this site allows you to bring a friend with you when you travel. Take Contoso Travel and build it into a hosted web app.
Okay, Jeff, I'll work on it.
All right. And wow, he does that. Let's get back to a little bit of content. Now, Kirill just talked to you about the ACUR rules that we have inside the manifest that determines when your app stops and when the internet begins. So being a hosted app, running code from a web server, it's quite common for us in our web code to have links to other places on the web, correct? So we want to make sure that a user of our site doesn't end up on the internet when they're inside of our app. And that's why we introduced the rules. It allows us to say, this is the scope of our application. When you're on nick.com, then it belongs inside the app. As soon as nick.com links out to disney.com or something like that, which they probably never do, but link out to another site, well, then that's going to open up in the user's browser. So it's really clearly defined where the internet starts and where it ends. Now, additionally, you can utilize these rules to determine which parts of your app have access to the Windows APIs. Now, we've talked about how you can use Cortana and contacts and the Xbox integration, but the truth is that any Windows API that's available in JavaScript can be accessed with the hosted app from your web server. So we're not limiting it to any particular APIs, we're giving you access to the entire set of them. So as a web developer, any feature you've ever desired to be able to do in your web app, we probably have an API to allow that. So in the rules, you set it, you can determine that you're going to allow your website to access all the APIs, all the Windows APIs. You can specify allow for web only, which we'll talk about a little bit later when we talk about the web view, but that basically allows you to limit it to only APIs that you expose from a native component in your app, or you can specify none. You can have certain APIs, and this is the default. Specify that the URLs in this particular rule do not have access to the Windows APIs. A little example. So for Cortana integration, what you do is you add a VCD file to your web app. So that's a voice command definition file, and that's going to tell Cortana when I say particular phrases, it'll pass that into your web app. And then in JavaScript, in the activation of your app, you can pull up the speech that was given to Cortana and then determine what you want to do with that in your website. So you have the ability to register that VCD with Cortana and then react to the information she passes back to your web app through JavaScript. Okay, so it looks like our contestant is ready. Back to my role. All right, Kirill, show us what you've done with Friendless in Seattle.
Awesome. Could you switch my screen, Jeff?
I suppose I could.
Sweet. So here's the code that I had to write for Friendless in Seattle. This is the Contoso travel app. It's a demo app that I've demo website that I've written in the past. So what I did is I just set the start page, and then as Jeff mentioned, in the application content URI rules, I've added this new tag, the Windows Runtime Access tag, and I've set the tag to all. What that does, it gives JavaScript running on my server full access to the Windows namespace when my website is running in the app container on Windows. And now I'll go ahead and I'll show that app, and I've actually deployed it on phone this time. So this is running on this phone. I'll go ahead and launch it, let it load. And I was booking my travel to San Francisco recently, so let me do that. Pick a couple dates. If I can go to the next month. And then I can choose a friend. And this is where the integration with the Windows platform begins. When I hit choose a friend, what I'm doing is I'm calling the Windows namespace and I'm calling the Picker API.
Whoa. So, Crow, you have one friend.
I do have one friend, and it's you, Jeff. I guess I really am.
So you're one friend away from being friendless in Seattle.
That's right.
Proceed.
Okay, so I can choose my friend, in this case, Jeff. We're coming down to speak to you all. I'll hit confirm. Another integration point that I'm able to do is with the calendar on Windows. And I can hit add to calendar, and what that does is it pops the native Windows UI for calendar. I can pre-populate the fields, like trip to San Francisco already, and hit accept. What that'll do is save it to my calendar, and I'm all set to go. I'm ready, I've booked my trip, and if my website wanted to, it could also display a notification telling me that my trip has been booked, and there it is on my phone.
Awesome. Judges?
How do you think I've
done? All right. Well, contestant, we're running low on time, so it is time for final Apperty. And your category is Do It Live. So what that means is that you're going to have to code a website for us, in front of us, that has and utilizes access to the Windows APIs.
Okay, Jeff, let me pull up a project that I made. The website that I'm going to pick is just a code pen that I wrote. So this is just a code pen, lives up on the web. It's publicly accessible. Give it some time to load in Visual Studio. There it is. You guys can see it as well. And I'm going to hit run so that it'll run as an application, a hosted web application on Windows. And as it does that, there it is. The code pen's loaded. I can write live code in here, edit code, and add code. I've already done integration for the Windows system prompt, doing feature detection for the Windows namespace and calling directly into it. But now I'll show you how to add integration with the People Picker, the earlier API that I showed in my app. So I'll go to the browser, the new Edge browser. And I've got some code written already up on, it's a public available gist. Doing feature detection and calling into the contact picker. I'll copy and paste that code into my code pen. So all I have to do is add a new function, people picker, and paste that feature detection code calling into the picker right in it. So. If it allows me. Let me restart that app.
Do we mention we're not quite done with Windows 10 yet?
Hit copy. People picker function. And hopefully this time, paste the code. Now there it is. So all I have to do is add another button. This one's for the system prompt. But I'll add one for the people picker. Call the right function on the onClick. See what's happened. That's okay. Actually, what's going on is there's live debugging in the script. There we go. Now if I hit system prompt, there it is. I've popped open the people picker live inside a code pen, did it on stage. What do you think, Jeff?
Awesome. What do we think? All right, so we're having a little fun, but the truth is that it is simple to build a hosted application. And what that allows you to do is to spend your time developing your web app, and then we make the code part real easy. A little bit of configuration to turn that on. So we're gonna jump over and we're gonna talk a little bit about the packaged JavaScript applications and some of the changes that we have in that space as well. Okay, so a packaged JavaScript application is when you have your JavaScript code and you load it inside the AppX. So for example, I'll have HTML, JavaScript, CSS files, and it'll actually live inside of my package. And while it's inside of the package, we give it access to all of the Windows Universal APIs, and it is delivered through the store, so it's inside your AppX. That's uploaded into the store, and then the users will download your entire app. You need additional data, you make service calls to go out and load that data. Your packaged apps can also be hybrid. If you want to utilize a web view along with them, we have an HTML5 web view that can point to additional packaged content or external content as well. Now, we introduced this concept with Windows 8, and when we did, we, along with it, brought a security policy that was custom to Windows. So it was a Windows web app security policy. Is there anyone who likes writing code for just one platform? No, as a web development community, we don't really like that. But I'll be honest, at the time, there was no standard security policy that worked across the browsers. So we created one, Chrome created one, Firefox created one. They were all very similar, but at points it made frameworks, especially, have to write different code to run in different applications. Well, we're really excited because now we have a W3C standard, and it's called the CSP, the Content Security Policy, that allows us to determine on a standard way what we're going to allow happen inside of our web apps. So we're real excited to support CSP inside of web apps in Windows 10. So that means you as the developer can determine what the security policy is going to be on your page. We have by default, on the screen there, you'll see the default security policy that we have. And then you can alter this as a developer. So you can make it tighter. If you know that you're not going to need eval or inline CSS, we recommend you update your security policy to follow that coding standard as well so that it locks down your app even more. If you're using a framework that might need some of these features that are blocked by default, well, then you can lessen your security policy as well. The goal is to leave it in the hands of the developers. And there's quite a few different things that you can alter. We have some examples on the screen, but you can basically determine how you load your code, where you load it from, and the type of code that you're going to allow to run in your page. So it's great for us to be able to support this as our security policy in Windows 10 and to have it match what you as a web developer are going to be writing for on any platform in the future. All right, so we're going to do a quick demo because remember we talked about how we want to make sure that web apps are simple to build. That goes for hosted applications too. Now, I will be the first to admit that not all websites are going to port to a packaged application. I'm going to actually pull up a blank app here, and then I'm going to pull in the Contoso travel site that Kirill had built. Now, the Contoso travel site is a single-page application. All of the code runs on a single page. This particular one doesn't even make any service calls. So it's quite easy for me to take that same code that he had written and put on a web server and move it into my package. Now, if you're using some back-end rendering languages, if you're running Ruby or Java or ASP.NET, where you're doing a lot of the rendering on the server side, a packaged application might not be as simple of a transfer for you as a developer. Now, the good thing is the frameworks and the code that you're using can be reran in this. So I've gone ahead and dropped that in. Let's go ahead and run it. Oh, you know, I forgot to make one change. I have a different page, right? I dropped in an index.html. Let me go ahead and update my manifest. It's by default pointing to default.html. So change that to index. That's how you know it's really happening live, right? And there we go. So the same Contoso travel site that we had living on the server is now a packaged application. And it works great. You can choose those dates, who you want to go with, and the ability to add it to your calendar. So the same rendering engine that we talked about running, the same compatibility fixes that you get from Microsoft Edge, you get inside of your Windows web app applications as well. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the new web view control we have, and I'm going to pass it over to Crow for that.
All right, thanks, Jeff. Now I'll talk a little bit about the web view control that we've introduced with Windows 10. And the web view control takes advantage of Microsoft Edge's new rendering engine. It gets the new rendering engine, continuous updates, it's always up to date. We've been listening to developer feedback and taking it and trying to add to an already existing API set for the WebView. We're trying to make that API set really rich so you guys have the power to build the applications that you want. And we've also improved performance by taking the WebView off of the UI thread. So a long-running script inside the WebView won't hang the app's UI. One new API that we've added, and we feel like this is a powerful API, is add WebAllowed object. And what add WebAllowed object allows you to do is inject custom components into the WebView at runtime of the application. So you're able to determine the URL before navigating the WebView and decide what custom Windows runtime components that you have included locally in your package you want to inject. How this worked before, it was a little messy, and we got a lot of feedback that people didn't like it. Communication between the application and the WebView was done by passing strings back and forth. And this wasn't really a natural way. So we've given the WebView the ability to call native components from within code running inside of it. And to really show that, I'll do a quick WebView demo on add WebAllowed object.
Yeah, so let's switch
to my computer. And let me open it up. There it is, it's loading. And what I've done here is I've actually added a local JavaScript page that I'm running inside, loading inside the WebView, so it's really easy to see and I can show the code. But you don't have to do this. You can navigate to a remote page inside the WebView. So in order to really show this, I'll first show the custom WinRT component that I have. And this is just a C# component I've written for Toast notifications. I know I showed them earlier working in JavaScript, but this is the notifications working in C#. And this is just a contrived demo example, but you could really write any Windows runtime component that you want to inject inside the WebView. In your code for your application, you're able to detect the WebView navigation starting event. And when you detect the navigation starting for a WebView, you can listen for the URL, and if it's the right URL that you're looking for, you can call add WebAllowed object onto the WebView. And what add WebAllowed object does is it injects that WinRT object that I showed, the code for the Toast notification, and you give it a name that you're able to call it within the JavaScript code running inside the WebView. So just to show the JavaScript running inside the WebView, I've just created a simple function called notify. And what that function calls is it directly off the window object calls the communicator object that I named, and it calls toast message from the C# code. So if I run this on my machine, there's the application. I have kind of like the application on top, on the bottom. I have some web content loaded inside my WebView. This is a common scenario. And for add WebAllowed object, I'm able to hit notify and have a toast notification pop up from the application. All right, and now I'll switch back to the presentation to cover more of the new APIs that we added. Another new API that we added came directly from feedback that we got from developers was the Clear Data API. And we've heard that it's been hard before to clear the cache of the application. Any remote content that was cached remained there. So we added a Clear Data API to give developers the ability to do that. The new window event gives you a notification as the developer for when window.open or things like that are called from within the WebView. So you can choose to pop that open in a new window or in the default browser. We've added the permission requested API or event. And what this event gives you the control over is permission requests like get user media and geolocation. And the developer is either able to defer to the user or auto allow or deny that request. Another thing that we added was the settings property. And the settings property controls is JavaScript enabled and is IndexedDB enabled for the web view. This is set before navigation. And the next thing that I'll cover is just like hosted web apps, the web view has the ability to call into the Windows runtime, the Windows namespace, through the manifest allow list. But with add web allowed object, we're also giving you more granular control where you're able to inject at runtime any component that you'd be able to call. And with that, I'll hand it over to Jeff for two.
Yeah, we're really excited that the platforms really come together in Windows 10. You can write all of your code on the web server, or you can, of course, write it all native. But we really appreciate how we're able to blend the two together as well. And the web view, as well as the hosted application, allow you to do that where you can call that code directly, your native code directly from your web code. Now, a lot of these changes have improved some of the stuff that we can do with tooling in Windows 10 as well. So Cordova is a real popular framework for us web developers to use to build applications that work across platforms. With the improvements that we have in Windows 10, we're able to introduce some new scenarios for our developers. Now, traditionally, we've had the packaged Cordova applications, where Cordova has a www folder that lives in the package. You put your web code in there, and then it's distributed along with the package to each of the stores. We talked about our new hosted model in Windows 10. Well, Cordova is able to utilize this hosted model to run a Cordova app from the server as well, which means you can utilize Cordova. You could put the Cordova JS files on your server and run your Cordova app completely hosted. The third thing is we're able to support the embedded scenarios for Cordova. And what that allows you to do is if you have an application already and you want to introduce some new functionality with Cordova, or if you have an application that's native and just part of it utilizes Cordova, you can now embed Cordova into your application, which means your application functions as it does, and Cordova is a portion of that application that has access to the same APIs, the same Cordova APIs that it does in any other scenario. So we're really excited to be able to support all these options in Cordova with Windows 10 web apps. Now, another thing that we had talked about this morning in the keynote is a JavaScript framework that a bunch of our developers are working on that's called Manifold.js. We talked about how great hosted applications are on Windows, how easy it is, and how powerful they can be. A number of platforms support hosted applications already, and the ones that don't can be enabled with some work that we've done with Cordova. So, Manifold.js allows you to take the same W3C standard that you'll use to build the Windows apps and then use that to build applications for all those other platforms as well. Like I said, when the platform supports a hosted app natively, we'll build you a hosted app. When it doesn't, we'll use Cordova to polyfill to build that application. I think it'll be best if I show a little demo on how this works. It's a lot easier to see to understand. All right, the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to run a Node.js server. So I already have this up and going, and this is just going to be a local server. It's the same one that we had shown in the keynote today. And so I have it running here. Let's make sure it's up. This is an application that I'm sure you've all seen those apps that help you connect to other people. Well, this is for us. This helps us connect to other frameworks. So, you can determine whether you like a framework, whether you don't like a framework, and who knows, maybe in the future those frameworks will be able to like you back. Wouldn't that be great? All right, so this is our sample application here. I'm going to go ahead and open up another command line. And I've already installed it. To install it is pretty easy, npm manifold.js. You have to have Node installed. That's the only requirement. Install Node, and then you can npm manifold.js. So I'm going to run it by calling manifold.js, then passing in my URL. In this case, it's a local host, right? So running there. And then I'm going to turn on logging so that we can see all the cool stuff fly by in the console, because that's always fun. And what's happening is it's going to go out to the server. It's going to recognize your manifest file if you have one on your server. If you don't have one on your server, it'll pull some metadata from it and use that to generate your application. So you don't already have to have a manifest to use this. We'll build one for you. And then if you have a manifest, it'll go and it'll pull in the images that you have listed there and bring them all local. If not, it'll use default ones that you can update yourself. And what we end up with is an application project for each of the different platforms. So I'll go ahead and show you here. So for example, when you build a Chrome app, all you really need is the manifest file and some of the images. So we have that pulled down. For Firefox, you have a manifest file that lives on your server. So we build that manifest file. We take the hard part out of having to figure out how to do it for each platform and allow it to do it yourself. We also have readmes that go in there for each of them. Now, for a Windows app, I'm going to go ahead and type Visual Studio, and it's going to go ahead and bring that application up in Visual Studio for me. Now, what Kirill showed earlier with the manifest and the images, again, are the only parts of this application. Now, we're able to enable things like offline. If you're offline, we'll give you messaging and things like that, but you don't need any additional code to run the hosted app. I'm going to go ahead and run that. You can see my server serving up the resources. So it's at runtime when you load your hosted application, it goes out to your web server, pulls the code that's out there so your users are always getting the most recent version. And this pattern that we think so works so well on Windows, you can now use that same W3C manifest to do it on all the platforms. So we'll generate that for you. We know that one of the great things about the web is that it's a write once, run everywhere platform. And we want to continue to encompass that, and we want to still let that be a value of your web apps when they're running inside of store applications. So Manifold.js will help you build the shell for each of those platforms and allow you as the developer to focus on your website. So we're real excited about that. We're continuing to work on it, and we're always looking for help. So it's a little call out there. Go to the website manifold.js.com or our GitHub repo. There's a number of ways that you folks can help contribute to this to make it better and make it easier for web developers. So I think that's what we have here. We have a bit of a summary of what we talked about today. So we started talking about the universal Windows apps and the fact that when you build a web app, you are a universal Windows app, so you can expect that to run anywhere that the universal Windows apps runs. We're excited to introduce hosted web apps and give you the ability to use the code that's living out on the web as the basis for a Windows app while giving you access to the Windows APIs that can make it differentiated on the Windows platforms. The improvements to the package apps with the new security model, the new web view that we have that supports all of the new Edge rendering engines, and then, of course, Manifold.js that we just demoed that gives you the ability to take this pattern and use it across platforms. We have a few minutes left, and we're here to take questions. So if you have one, we're going to ask if you can step up to the microphone. If you don't want to, just shout it out and we'll repeat it, but we want to make sure we get it on tape. First question, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to know what you're going to do to prevent people from wrapping other people's web-hosted content and sites, like me making Facebook but turning all the images red.
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, when we enable this, that's one of the the issues that we have to address as well. So we actually now in our store policy have a constant review process, which means that the apps are not only reviewed when they're first submitted to the market, but they're also reviewed throughout the lifetime of the app. So that not only helps us catch web apps that don't belong, because right, if you're submitted to the market and you don't have the rights for that, but also like if an application changes or starts breaking over time or something, we're gonna be able to pick that up. So as far as whether it's allowed or not is something that's gonna be controlled from the content owners. So for example, if someone built a Facebook application and they weren't Facebook, Facebook would have the right to request that removal.
Thank you.
In the front.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify, would it be possible to have the packaged app or hosted web app that is that contains the third-party code that's loading scripts from some sites, I don't know, ads or Facebook button, stuff like that? Because currently it looks like it's only your page, and that's it.
No, that's actually not true. So yes, you can have a hosted web app that contains third-party code. It could be third-party plugins from other sites on the web. You just have to include them in the application content URI rules, so you define that they're part of your application. And you can also have local third-party code that you can call from within your site that lives in your package.
Yeah. In the back?
So I have a question about the manifold piece and hosted versus packaged.
Yeah.
And how that plays on iOS.
Yeah.
So for example, for Manifold, it sounds like those are hosted apps, so it's still a remote server and you can do all of your stuff, but it's really the shell with remote app.
Right.
Right. But on Apple will deny you if they believe that it is a shell application where the files are hosted remotely as opposed to locally.
Yeah. So obviously, Apple has different policies than we do for the stores, so
sure.
we can't control that. Whatever they want to decide is fine. Now, we have a number of partners who use this and have worked with Apple without any problems. Now, Apple's policy, from what I understand, is that they don't want it to be only web-hosted code. They don't have a problem with it being hosted remotely, but they don't want it to be the same experience that you have when you're on the website.
From my experience, it's been getting certification, but...
And I agree with you. We actually want to push from the standard perspective on that, because we think that we know that they're denying some great experiences that way, and that's part of, with the W3 standard, they may take a different approach to have the hosted apps supported and the installable web apps supported on their platform, but we are going to push really hard to make sure that there is a way to do it based off of the standard.
Okay, that makes sense. And then, but for now, Manifold is the hosted.
Yep, so Manifold is the way that we can make it work. We actually utilize Cordova on iOS to polyfill what they don't support. Let me know if you have problems getting in. We have partners who have already done this and are in doing well in the iOS store. So we'd be happy to make some connections and find out what they did.
Okay. So with the packaged and hosted web apps, obviously the great thing is it has access to the Windows APIs. What about something like Office? So for example, I want to be able to drag an email from Outlook into my app or something like that. Will that be usable as well?
Yeah, I can talk about that one. Yes, it would be. You'd have to write some code, either locally or some JavaScript code on the server to handle the content that you're dropping into the application. But yes, that's possible. So if you're dropping some content, you'd have to write code, obviously, to handle that content and upload it or open it or do whatever you'd like in your application. But yes, it is possible.
And could that just be, you mentioned code on the server, like JavaScript. Does it have to be isomorphic, like using Node or something, or can we just... just have client-side JavaScript.
It could just be client-side JavaScript, right. It's hosted on your server, but it could be client-side code. It doesn't have to be server-side code.
Perfect, thank you.
Yep.
So if I wanted to deploy an internal application just for my company and not make it publicly available in the Windows Store, is there a way to do that with hosted web apps?
You know the rules and stuff, right?
Yeah, I know the rules. So yes, that is possible. And actually, if you want to do that, There, you can deploy them to, you can sideload those apps just within your company and deploy them throughout your team. But you also get some exceptions. So you're able to do things like enterprise authentication and programmatic access to the documents library if you were just to sideload an app. You couldn't get those access privileges if you were submitting to the store.
You could not if you're in the store?
Not if you're in the store, but this is true for all Windows Universal applications.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you do the sideloading or using the business store, you actually have less restrictions than if it is through the general store.
Okay, and so just my final question is, what would that look like to deploy? Would you have to send out a packaged file that users would install on their computer, or what would it look like?
So neither of us are experts in that space. So if we're not quite right, I'll apologize. There's a number of ways that you can do it. Sideloading, where you have a package that's distributed, is one. But I believe there's also a way to create a local market. I know at Microsoft, we do that, and we actually have a number of our internal apps that use the hosted app pattern. Because they do deploys like every day, right? And it just wouldn't be feasible to do that as a store, as a native app. So, and we then have our corporate store that we can download apps from. So,
okay.
We'd be happy to plug you in with people who know more. And
okay, well, that was helpful. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. So, was that a bit loud? So, if I make a packaged application, you showed how I can call native Windows APIs using this
add web allowed object API, yep.
Right. Can I call native iOS and Android stuff as well, or do I need something like PhoneGap in addition to Manifold.js to do that?
Manifold uses Cordova, and so yes, you can. You can call the APIs. Cordova has a set of APIs, and then it has plugins that you can add. So Cordova, that used to be called PhoneGap, for folks who don't know.
Oh, okay. Cordova is PhoneGap.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Well, so, I didn't know that. That answers my question then.
Yeah, you would have to do is add the JavaScript portion of it to your website so it's served with your code, and then you've got your API set there.
Okay, thanks.
Just one question. You might have answered this already, but is local storage working as well?
Yes, local storage works for the WebView and hosted web app.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can you actually run this more offline, or do you always need an initial access to the internet?
So if it's truly a hosted web app, you could build local pages in the package where you could run it offline only. But if it's truly a hosted web app pointing to your website, you could use standard W3C technology, offline technologies like IndexedDB, local storage, app cache, to build an offline experience. And the first time you hit it, it's obviously going to be remote and pulled down. But if you have an offline experience built in, the next time you open the application, it doesn't have to be online.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Yeah, it's a good question. So the question was, can you add extensions? So the JavaScript application object is the rendering engine and the JavaScript engine. So it doesn't include like extensions, browser helper objects, plugins like Flash. None of that is supported inside of the hosted app, just the HTML5 code. I will just throw one more thing though. You can actually, you know, pair it with native code, which can give you that same encompassed functionality that you have with a extension.
Are there any restrictions to pop-up windows?
Yes, pop-up windows.
Inside a hosted web application or inside a web view?
Inside a hosted app.
Inside a hosted app, yes, they'll open up in the default browser. Inside the web view, you're able to handle them through an event that fires and choose to open them in a new web view, new window, or new, whatever you'd like.
So a web view would be a Chrome that is built into?
Right. Web view is just a different container. It just has more of an API set to enable you to handle things like window.open popping up new windows inside the container and events fire. A hosted app container is a lighter weight container that doesn't have this API set that just lets you load your web content.
Hi, is it possible to build a native component in C++ that uses DirectX and things like that and then expose an API to JavaScript so that the JavaScript can orchestrate such a native component?
You want to?
You can take this.
Okay. Yes, you can. So, like for example, if you wanted to maybe use HTML for your markup or something.
No, actually, I don't really care much about HTML markup. I care about JavaScript, basically having logic and render things natively.
Okay, so you can have a C++ component that your JavaScript can call. Yes, you can. Now, one of the decisions you have to make is if you're, depending on how you're going to display your application, if you're a hosted app, then your C++ will not be able to render to the screen. If you are a traditional web app, then you can actually have a web view in your C++ app where, yes, your C++ and your JavaScript can call each other, no problem. So there's a couple different patterns depending on your scenario, but what you're asking is possible.
Thanks.
Hi. Do you guys do any performance optimizations for startup for the hosted apps? Like I know packaged apps get bytecode caching and stuff like that. Is there any facility to say when these are installed as hosted app, pre-download some of these files, like you know my jQuery or whatever things aren't going to change? And do you do any bytecode caching or stuff like that?
So yeah, all that applies not on install and before first launch, but after first launch, all of those optimizations from the web platform for the Windows web app platform still apply.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, I think that's it. Now we're going to be in the expert zone. Wait, one more question. All right, sir, you can have the last one. Okay, the question was, what kind of experience would you have with a legacy site that is not responsive? So it would appear as your site does in its own window. Some of the things you gotta watch out for is if you have a dependency on Flash, it's not gonna work in a hosted app or in the web view. We don't do anything to make it responsive, it's just gonna render the way that it does. Yeah. Okay, we'll be in the expert zone if you guys have any other questions for the next half hour. Otherwise, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you everybody.
And if you could please do an evaluation, we would appreciate that, the feedback.